He took out Celestials.
Yeah.
Let us not... And he points that out in this issue, and that was that moment I was like, oh, yeah. That dude's a badass. But this is going to be an awesome run.
Let me always still beat by... Reed, yeah. Well,
see, he was never really beat by Reed in terms of power set, because in power set he would mop the floor with Reed. It's a
Reed
stretchy
just
guy.
Always outsmarted.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Reed's a little bit smarter, but I would argue that the thing that really makes it where Reed beats him every time is that Doom has a flaw in his character where he always tries to take it on his own. He won't take outside help, and Reed always beats him with teamwork. And that's kind of the theme of the whole thing, right?
That is. It's totally the theme of the whole thing.
Reed always takes the help that he needs, whereas Doom never does. And that was kind of the end of Secret Wars too. Like,
yeah.
That was ultimately how Reed won in the end.
Is he asked for help and Doom wouldn't.
Yeah, Doom's ultimate defeat really came just before he lost his powers, when he admitted that Reed would have done a better job.
Yep. This is true. This is true. Man, what a great end to a good event.
If that was like the end of their rivalry for all time, that would be a great way to end
That'd
it.
That'd be a great way to leave it. Great way to leave it.
That was so
And
well
hopefully those listening have read that event. I mean, it's been out for
It's been over a year. Yeah.
Right.
And this is...
The spoiler warning has died on that one. And you still started on us anyway.
Right. I was about to say, this is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 144.
Wow.
Oh, man.
The 144s. We got... Have a good night, my man. Who let us get there? Who let that happen?
Who has allowed?
Not you.
That
obviously
is,
not
that,
you.
Obviously
you
not me.
You've done everything you can to thwart our efforts, Jules.
I'd like to think, you know, I nourished this and, like, cared for it for a long time, and then I just shoved it out of the tree.
You know, sent it out to the wilderness.
So that's
you
okay.
I sent you guys to prep school.
You showed up for every
episode
until, like, episode 3.
So I want you guys, I want you guys who are listening and can't see us right now, I want you to know that Jules, like, pantomimed like he was, like, swaddling a baby when he was talking about, like, nourishing the show.
You know? That's like... That's the go-to, like, nourishing, like, you know, just, no? Nobody else? Nothing?
I got you. I understood. I just wanted to point
Isn't
out.
Isn't this, like, that motion actually sign language for, like, rocking or something? Or, like, swaddle? Or,
I'll have to confess my ignorance on this one, Larry. Yeah.
Let's just say
that was the part of the program that was for those who cannot, you know what, that joke isn't funny.
No, man, I mean, what's the point of...
The joke is not funny.
No.
They like to watch the bars slowly move second by second on their screen.
Jules, you've been back for like 45 seconds and you already managed to screw up, man.
Yeah,
but that's the big news in my world today is that Jules ain't dead.
Yeah.
It's okay for him to insult them though, because they can't hear it on our
podcast.
You guys
are monsters.
You know, and the question is: the people that can hear us, are they still also watching the bar slowly tick by and thinking? It's
yeah, we're
going
to play a game here in the podcast. I want you to turn your volume all the way down for the next minute, and when you come back, what do you think will be happening? We're going to keep talking. But who knows what you come back to.
So what you're saying, you want people to basically turn off the dial and then come back
and
randomly.
Just come back at random. It could be interesting. Who knows?
That could be
God knows what the tangents we go off
we
on.
We do tend to wander here and there when
I
it
mean,
comes to
They subjects. Could come back and we're talking about global economics. Or the pavement.
It could be. I mean,
speaking of pavement, they just paved the road in front of my work.
Oh, good that's nice.
You,
good for you.
It's been a pain in the ass. Now I can wash my car. I haven't been able to wash it in about a month.
You know what has been bugging me, speaking of pavement? They've paved Riley all the way except for the part of the mall right there in front of the mall where it's the worst shape.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they'd be reticent to start on that one since it's probably the highest
now, but
area.
They started on this like 6 months ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I-24 still isn't all the way fixed.
You know what was shot?
Nobody cares about
I-24. They were, like,
I care.
You know they were down to, like, two lanes on I-65 north and south, like, going in and out of downtown?
Yeah.
They were working on that, and I'm pretty sure this is accurate, for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I started on it before I started college, and they finished it, I think, like... earlier this year.
Yep.
I remember driving by there for the first time, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
There's four lanes here. This is impossible.
It's crazy. It literally took them 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I live in East Nashville, and to get here, I have to go that way. And I can tell you, for as long as I have been driving, which is actually over 10 years, that has been frickin' closed or blocked off or shortened to a lane or two. Yeah. It has never been fully functional. And even then, I still think they did a crap job.
Well,
I think they could have squeezed in another lane.
Arkansas is the same way. They're under perpetual,
Arkansas's worse.
Arkansas
building.
Is worse.
Yeah,
Arkansas's worse.
So
they can't get funding either. That's a whole other mess.
It may have taken them a decade to do that road repair, but they eventually finished that road repair. Arkansas will never end. It'll keep going forever.
There's not a triage system. I don't know firsthand. I'm taking your word for it here.
Well, I mean, I know every year, I go, or whenever, I don't go back every year now, but whenever I drive back to Dallas, where my parents are, we always plan extra time for Arkansas. It's like,
there's always,
I can
always
spend
stop.
3 hours going around Arkansas. Or I can just plan a 3-hour delay in Arkansas.
Yep.
Was Arkansas named before Kansas, or was Kansas before Arkansas?
I'm pretty sure it was Kansas before Arkansas.
Okay.
I think. I'd have to look that one up.
Yeah. And are we sure it's Arkansas, not Arkansas?
I think that was one of the pronunciations originally used, actually.
That's what I was just wondering.
I'm not sure. You know how some people apparently call Missouri, Missouri?
I was actually not aware of that until those people who are tuning back in right now, yes, we are talking about the proper pronunciations
of states.
Of Arkansas and Missouri.
Arkansas.
I forget how you'd say it, but apparently people in Iowa say Iowa differently.
How do you say Iowa differently?
Iowa or something.
Iowa is such a specific word. I just can't imagine it enunciating any other way.
Well, that's true of cities also.
It's like Idaho. Like, could you say Idaho differently than Idaho?
It's short that like that, it does kind of boggle the mind. But, like, there is some sort of regional flair to places like, okay, Louisville. People keep wanting to say Louisville.
But it is Louisville.
It is not.
Do you know how do you write Louis?
You know how people in Louisville say it?
Yeah, I know. But
they say Louisville.
They don't know better.
They get to
pick
Louisville.
They don't know better. People call it St. Louis, and it is St. Louis. It is St. Louis. Ask anyone who lives there, it's St. Louis. It's St. Louis.
That's how you spell Louis.
Right.
But it's Lafayette, not Lafayette.
We're not even... You're going to tell me it's Demon Brewing now.
No, it's Demon
Brewing. I like Demon Brewing.
Oh, my God. You can agree with that, but you let... Lafayette.
I like Demon Brewing. I would love to have
a street downtown named after a demonic bear creature.
Right.
That would be great. How much cooler would that be? But it's Demon Brewing, and I'm disappointed that it's Demon Brewing. All right, so now that we've filled our listeners' Nashville traffic.
Denumbrium or Demumbrium?
Demumbrian.
Demumbrian?
Demumbrian? Damn.
Whatever.
Demumbrian. Demumbrian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
Whatever.
We got any geeky things we can talk about?
What? Enunciation is not geeky enough.
Is there any geeky things we can talk about?
Not your cup of tea?
What can we talk about? Oh, the year's almost over. Let's talk about...
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say one more thing on enunciation and somewhat nerd related.
There is
a magic card that most people call a tog. It's actually supposed to be pronounced a tog.
Huh.
And that's an iconic creature that everybody gets wrong.
That's a Larry fact of the day, guys. Yeah.
How bitterly ironic.
I just learned something.
That's kind of those weird things where, like, you see something your whole life and you have a certain way of saying it that you're, like, positive is right, but then, like, some video game comes out and, like, okay. Ra's al Ghul. They pronounce his name in one of the Arkham games is Ra's al Ghul.
That's how they pronounce it in the animated series.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it was Ra's in the animated series.
Yeah, that throws me off.
Yeah.
And
that happens often when you originally read something.
Yeah,
it's true. Now, I spent the longest time thinking Thor's hammer was gonna say, Mjolnir.
There's no way anybody's read that for the first time in their entire life. Say, oh, Mjolnir. That's what that is.
Yeah.
No. No. We all read Mjolnir. If you didn't read Mjolnir, you're a liar.
So you're saying it's not maybe it's a
scallywag.
Many readers in Scandinavia would see that and know how it's supposed to be said, but...
They can go F themselves. The average Marvel reader never read that correctly the first
Probably
time.
Probably not.
And if you say you did, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to disrespect you by looking at you funny.
Jewel, some things you can't take back. Looking at someone funny in a disrespectful way, you monster.
I know. I'm just a bad guy.
But it's I did like your idea about doing a bit of a year review. One big thing, though, Star Wars hasn't come out yet, which is a pretty it's a glaring omission.
It's a good, but you know, movies in December, you might as well be a movie in the next.
Well,
the
fair enough.
I've had all year to stew on these other things, and you come in at the very end of the year.
The first movie that I've been truly excited to see, comes out this weekend,
which is
the new Harry Potter.
Oh, no.
I totally forgot about that.
I mean, it looks fine. I mean, I'll probably go see it with my family over Thanksgiving break coming up.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
But,
That's my fan genre, you know.
Okay, that's true.
I saw Doctor Strange.
It was okay. I finally got to see it. It was okay. It was B+. It was mid-range.
I mean, Marvel still hasn't made a bad movie, but Doctor Strange, I would put it at the middle of their pack.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it had a more inspired plot. The action scenes were great.
The action scenes, though.
Okay, we talked to this last week, but just to rehash a bit. Yeah, they did a great job taking advantage of these guys being wizards to do very trippy,
space-bending
fight scenes. But I hope that the new Harry Potter movie is good. Apparently, Warner Brothers is really hoping it's good, too, since I've heard that they're planning 5 movies.
Wow, that is a bold opening move.
Well, it's Harry Potter.
They were planning multiples.
It's true.
And they were planning something on magical monsters and how to care for them or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they make all these references throughout the... Or J.K. Rowling has made all these references about these books written by famous witches and wizards. And she's made vague references... And there's ton of this other world out there that people would love to explore.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One wonders and how much of that is better left in the background, though. It's kind of cool, like, having something kind of, like, part of the world, just kind of out of reach. You know?
It could turn into a Star Wars prequel sort of thing, where...
of these are actually...
Yeah,
in that vein.
Star Wars is the ultimate example that sometimes less is more.
Yeah, Darth Vader was great because I didn't really know all that much about him. Now that I know that he's a whiny little bitch, I don't really care. I still care.
I don't think I've dropped an F-bomb yet, but I'm going to eventually. You can be okay saying bitch.
Well, that one's allowed.
Here's the other thing. Yeah. In Star Wars, it's a bunch of science that only works by magic.
Yeah,
Whereas in Harry Potter, it's a bunch of magic that works by magic.
No, it's a bunch of electricity that works by magic.
Fair enough.
In the movies, it does usually boil down to wizard lightning fights. So that's true.
Oh yeah, no, I'm all for it. I'm gonna pull out the elephant in the room. It's just because Warner Brothers wants a shared universe, and this is the only way they're gonna get it properly.
They want a
tentpole franchise again.
That's what I'm saying. And they're not doing that with the DC movies. Let's dive back into
other nerd things here. We were talking about nerdier review. The DC movies, think what you will about them, but they undeniably underperformed versus what they were expecting them to do.
This is a good way to get people excited about the
9 movies. I think it's set up to end pretty much where the first one begins. Are supposed to cover the rise of Voldemort. Mm-hmm. I think the last 3 are supposed to be all the rise of Voldemort or something.
I mean, I'm okay with there being more Harry Potter movies. That sounds fun, but I don't know how much of the original characters I want to see included.
It's not going to be
the original, because you think
I know they're not
Voldemort
Harry
died when Harry's born. So none of the characters we love were even ever around.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, how much... You'll see Dumbledore. I didn't really need to see Voldemort's, like, dread backstory. I feel like...
No, but I would like to see...
But that would be kind of awkward, I guess.
All right, so there was a glitch. Something happened. It paused recording.
Jules broke the...
Yeah, you know, even the computer can't believe I'm here. Yeah. The computer's like, wait. Was that Jules about to make a joke?
Well, we were about to say...
Shut that down.
Some things that need to be fleshed out. Well, we are excited about the new Fantastic Beasts because it's showing us new stuff.
Yeah,
but do we need more Voldemort? Do we need more Darth Vader?
Yeah, we definitely don't need more Voldemort.
We don't need more Voldemort the same way we didn't need more Darth Vader, we can now definitively say. Darth Vader, I don't know if this part got recorded or not, but... He's one of the most iconic and arguably one of the best cinema villains to ever exist, so you can't really go anywhere but down from there.
So true.
And we will never know if execution was something that killed a good idea or not, but you could argue that was probably doomed before it started.
Pretty much.
And especially, I think a lot of it felt like a cash grab. The prequels and everything really did.
Oh, man.
I think
so hard to get through.
Buy my toys.
Yeah, the toys are great. The movies are awful.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's not from a Star Wars perspective. I mean, just as like just a objective moviegoer, you don't need 15 minutes on the frickin' pod race scene.
15 minutes? That thing's like 45 minutes if you count the beginning to end, that whole story.
That's the best part of the movie, though. That's the only time anything happens.
It's the best spectacle in the movie.
Fucking half the movie is the pod race!
Yeah, I mean, they spend most of the movie going to the Galactic Senate just to be told that they're not going to help, and then just like, okay, well, I guess we'll do it ourselves. You could have done that the whole time!
Literally, all that happens is they're like, oh man, someone's like, in our grill. Yeah, let's go tell on them.
Yeah, and like they're big.
And then they go to tell on them, and then they trip, and they fall, and someone helps them up. And then they go tell on them, and they're like, take care of it yourself. And then they go back, and then they take care of it themselves.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And like their grand battle strategy was like, if we capture this one room, we win. But how does that make sense?
That made no sense.
And Anakin destroys the enemy fleet
on
accident. Like, they have a tractor beam that brings armed and operational enemy ships into their hangar, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. They didn't have a freaking nuclear reactor in their garage.
He picked the right one.
Yeah.
All of those ships look the same. There's like seven of them. And he just picks the perfect one to just kill everybody else.
It's the Force, man. The Force told him which one to pick out.
B.S. B.S. Infinity.
This is where...
Sloppy writing, man.
Okay, this is such sloppy writing.
Star Wars goes in for a type of sci-fi where there's a lot of mysticism to it. There's a lot of don't worry about it, it's space magic to it. At its worst, that type of sci-fi lends itself to what you're talking about now.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like, the Force did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it, it's magic.
Don't think about it, you know.
When you're using it as a crutch to hold up really crappy writing... That is Star Wars at its weakest. That's the Force. That's space magic at its weakest.
And not only that, guys. Seriously, as much everyone gives shit to Lando Calrissian for being the one black dude in all of Star Wars that betrays all the white people and then eventually becomes the good guy, nothing is more racist than Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks is more racist than the crows in Dumbo. I said it as a child. I stand by that statement.
One of those characters in the Dumbo is actually named Jim Crow.
Yes.
Those crows are racist. As close as you can get.
But he says Massa Jedi, and I lost it. As a child, I got up and I walked out. As an adult, I cannot stop but point out Jar Jar Binks is the most racist thing ever.
The prequel is racist.
It's so racist. There's so many racist things.
Federation aliens are really offensive Asian stereotypes.
Yes, it's awful. With the sideways eyes.
Asian stereotypes that use vehicles badly parked to block planetary business.
And they built robots, guys. Let's not forget their whole thing
army was robots,
building robots.
Battle droids.
They kept building robots.
Okay.
Battle droids are great, though.
They're battle droids are great. They're half the reason I can watch those movies.
Well, no one ever denies that things like the choreography, the special effects, they're all
pretty, pretty good. You could skip all of the movies and just watch the lightsaber fights, and that was pretty much all you needed. Because that Darth Maul fight scene is awesome.
Yeah, it makes up for Darth Maul having absolutely no character whatsoever.
Nope, he just
They are doing a... Did you guys see they're doing a Darth Maul miniseries?
Yeah.
Miniseries. Okay, I thought you were about to say a movie. No, comics. Yeah, that's fine. That's cool.
For comics. Yeah, five issues.
He's a completely blank slate, so they can't, mess him up.
Well, the rumor is they're just going to rehash the Dark Horse version.
Because
the Dark Horse stuff, the Dark Horse Dark Maul stuff is the only Dark Horse stuff that's considered canon.
You know, there is a little bit of worry right now. Darth Vader just ended, which I think we can all agree was the best of Marvel Star Wars books. Yeah. Not that the others were bad, but Darth Vader was clearly the best.
Darth Vader was the best.
They do need something to fill that void now. Maybe not be as good, but something will still be pretty good.
He is writing
Kieran Gillen.
Yeah, he's writing...
He's writing the Darth Maul book, isn't he?
No, he's not writing... I don't know if he's writing Darth Maul, but he's...
I know he's doing Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, he's doing Dr. a spinoff Aphra. With that character he introduced, which, you know, a very likable character. I'm glad she's still going to be around.
Awesome character. Yeah. He's totally an awesome character.
I wonder if how much of it was just her being, like, a joke Indiana Jones character ripoff. But they ran with it, and it worked.
Come on, man. Han Solo is Indiana Jones. They managed to work... Not just... That it's Harrison Ford, but it is actually the same character.
They work in a fight scene between an Indiana Jones expat and a
character
and Han Solo. Yeah. They effectively had Harrison Ford's two most iconic characters duking it out in her. That fight scene makes her inclusion. That alone makes it totally the best thing ever.
Yeah, because they just do what Harrison Ford would do. Actually, that's it. That whole fight scene is them. B and Harrison Ford.
Yeah, they shoot bees at each other. Yep. And
that fight only unnecessarily escalates.
Yeah.
For no reason at all. Same way it would in, you know.
It was wonderful.
It was. It was great. It's one of the highlights of Kieran Gillen's run on Vader.
Which, now, Harrison Ford in real life is kind of a badass.
Yeah.
He's a reasonably tough guy. Yeah. Apparently he broke his leg on the set of Force Awakens and didn't notice for a while.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. Okay.
But, I know, I am looking forward to
it. Yeah, exactly. Maybe wearing set piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rebels, they are some... assholes. They just kill everybody. They spend all those movies, all you do is watch the Rebels destroy everything.
Well, Empire stuff.
Yeah, but there's people there. I will always make the Clerks argument. They did not finish that second Death Star. They were not done building that second Death Star. There had to be independent contractors working to finish. No way evil stormtroopers were building that Death Star.
Don't put stormtroopers in a box. Maybe they're great engineers and architects. They clearly spend their time doing that instead of practicing their shots. So
maybe that's why. No way.
Maybe that's why.
In fact, their inability to shoot everything tells me there's no way they were building the Death Star. There's no way incompetent soldiers were building one of the most competent weapons
ever. Maybe they weren't great at shooting because they, like, conscripted a bunch of architects. A bunch of evil architects who were okay with killing people.
No, man. No. In all fairness, most of the rebels' destruction is of their own kind and cost. Most of the Hoth battles, their own damn fault. They cause more mayhem and destruction by taking out the walkers instead of... I mean, seriously, they just knocked walkers into other... what were those things called? The Rogue Squadron fighters.
Oh, the speeders.
So the rebels caused more mayhem and destruction than the Empire does.
Well, we didn't say they were smart.
Through the entire franchise, the poor Ewoks, they wanted nothing to do with what was going on. And they got dragged into it.
I saw a webcomic one time comparing Star Trek and Star Wars and, like, their attitude towards native populations. Whereas in Star Trek, it's like, we must preserve this beautiful and unique species. Whereas in Star Wars, go kill for your golden god.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. What a bunch of terrible people to take this giant, beautiful fortress.
Princess
of
Leia
Care Bears
ain't got no shits to give about the Prime Directive.
Man, just here, teddy bears, go kill for us.
Yeah,
kill for your beautiful bride.
Probably expecting that, like, you know, they're not going to be. They're probably sending them out there expecting them to be cannon fodder. You know, like, what do you think they're going to do? But surprisingly effective, it turns out.
It's surprisingly.
Yeah, no. That this is the reason Jedi's not my favorite movie.
Yeah.
It's the weakest.
Those cuddly teddy bears, yeah, they are carnivores now.
Yeah,
They were all about to eat Han and Luke.
Yeah.
Well, like, and they ate the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody forgets. Yeah, it's like, hey, go. So it's more like not kill for your golden god. Here, feast on these.
You can make steel drums with their helmets later.
Yep.
It's not weird at all that they thought to do that.
It's genuinely horrific, the implications of the Battle of Endor.
Yeah, we beat them, so just
in
eat
the one that is arguably the most kid-friendly, it has the most horrifying fridge logic to it.
Yeah, you really think about it. At the end, they're like, so, I'm sure the Ewoks like, so I know we won, but you don't want them as prisoners, right? You don't need prisoners. We can just eat them.
We got some carrots and some stew going.
Like somebody had to be like, you know what, Ewoks, just eat them. Someone had to tell
you.
You
know what?
No, we bury our dead.
Devoted themselves to the Empire. Eat all these evil architects if you want.
The Conjunctors don't make it through that explosion. They killed anybody who's
General or Orlando.
They're dead.
We have a choice. We have to dig a mass grave or let the little Muppets eat them.
Gotta let the little Muppets.
Muppets, they said they were hungry.
They did their part.
We actually grazed over their field where the giant at where they grew their vegetables.
We warred and trampled all. That's what my guess is. Lando left his clothes.
I don't know why.
It stopped again.
But yeah, this is going to be one weird sounding podcast to listen to. Because there's going to be a stop like every 10 minutes or something.
This could only happen on my return.
Oh, Jules.
Oh, man.
Why did you break everything?
I don't know.
Including our hearts.
It's terrible.
Okay. This is why we can't have. I've been watching it, so I've caught it and like hit. And got it to record again, you know, every time. But there's going to be several times throughout this podcast. Y'all have probably noticed five of them. Where
five?
Where we have stopped
at
you.
I was only aware of one.
Yeah.
Well, I did them all real quick.
Larry's been sparing our fragile minds from knowledge that.
I had no idea. It's like the government. I had no idea this was going on the whole time.
Speaking of,
I had a little idea.
I mean, I knew about the one, but I didn't know about
anything.
Did you
see Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
No, I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore.
I wasn't in the mood to watch comedy last weekend, to be honest. But I did go back after the fact and watch his opening monologue. Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, so it was pretty. He did some funny stuff on there.
I heard it was funny. I heard the laughs had by all.
Apparently, the signature sketch of the night was them spoofing Walking Dead.
Oh.
I have not seen that yet.
Oh, yeah. I watched one. I quit at season 5. What was the one where they were still in the prison?
God, that was
for that was like 4, maybe.
4? Was 4 the one where they got to the prison? No. What was the one where they were still in the prison?
4 is the one where they start in the prison.
Okay, then no. Season 5 is where I quit, then.
Okay.
Yeah. Season 5 is the beginning of 5 is where I quit.
I saw a thing talking one time about like how things have transformed over the course of Walking Dead, where like the beginning of the show, oh, thank goodness, it's just a human, not a walker. And now it's, oh, thank God, it's a walker, not a human.
Yeah, that is funny. But, so I dropped off the show years ago as it started to realign itself with the comic book, because at that point it felt worthless. I was like, oh, I've already read everything after this. So this episode for the season started or whatever, season 7.
Yeah.
And the way that, knew how they left last season. I didn't have to watch it.
I mean,
because I've read the comic book, and I was like,
it's impossible that you haven't already seen the spoiler by now, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, so I say to myself before I watch this, I was like, you know what? if this episode's good, I will watch the show again.
And it was a horrible episode.
It was terrible, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I said to myself, if they kill Glenn again, I swear, if these writers are that lazy...
Well, you knew they would kill Glenn again.
Well, they had to kill Glenn.
They love killing Glenn. It's their favorite thing to do.
There's no way to...
A smart writer kills anybody but Glenn. A smart writer kills anybody but Glenn, because then you completely...
That's why they killed Glenn last, because Glenn has to die.
Glenn doesn't have to... If you have...
To set up the whole next three seasons, Glenn has to die. Glenn has to die to motivate Maggie.
Here's what I'm going to say. A, you could have killed Maggie instead of Glenn. It would have been different from the comic book. The result would have been the same. B.
Nope. What? Couldn't happen.
You couldn't kill the most worthless...
Glenn couldn't then give birth to the baby.
No, but... You don't have to do...
You'd be surprised.
You've done enough baby. You've already done enough baby. More baby than they already did in the comic book. You've done more baby.
No, well, okay. They should have killed Rick's kid.
You should have killed Rick's kid. You should have... Yeah.
But then we want to get to see just how long his hair is going to get by the end of all this. I'm fascinated by this, honestly.
Is that the only thing that's hooking you in is how long...
I don't even watch the episodes. I just, like, pick up the screen grab of, like, how long his hair is down. Okay.
That's it. You just look up his hair.
Respectable.
But no.
Carl, I can't say
the name for him. Because Glenn dies, Maggie moves... And that sets up the plots of the Hilltop.
I know that, but here's what I'm going to say. You could have, A, made the show far more different than the comic book, which
I agree. They could have started doing that three seasons ago.
Exactly why I quit watching the show in the first place, which is why I was like, you know, if they veer off, this will be interesting to me again, because it's been the exact same thing I already read.
I think you said that you don't really watch Game of Thrones, but... One could this arguably be a strength of Game of Thrones, in that they apparently are willing to drastically depart from the books because
they're not written yet.
Yeah.
Well, even before they never introduced Lady Stoneheart.
But I did.
They killed certain people.
Do you need a two-hour episode about a meal?
I actually called most of that.
Do you need a two-hour episode about a meal?
I called most of that.
So, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, they've got to condense down.
Yes.
But I'm not talking about, like, the stuff you always see when they make adaptations, of them cutting off the fluff, so to speak. Like, Lord of the Rings did that, Harry Potter did that, they all did that. I'm talking about, like, characters coming and go, like, major plot points that are tweaked, changed, or just cut out.
Well, and here's what they do with The Walking Dead. They take these storylines, mm-hmm. and because they start it so differently... And they're like, well, we want the story of them doing this.
Yeah.
I actually had a conversation, and I called what Carol is doing. Mm-hmm. As soon as they showed Michonne hooking up with Rick, mm-hmm. I was like, well, mm-hmm. then it only fits that Carol hooks up, you know, in the kingdom. Then, you know, Maggie's still got to go to Hilltop.
And I'm sorry, I don't know if it's because I read the comic book first. That Daryl character is worthless. He's the same character I saw in the first season that I left at the fourth season. I came back for the one episode of the seventh season, and it's the same character.
He's a little different than what he was in the first season.
He literally, I haven't watched it, and I could skip season
five.
Season five, six, and I skipped to seven, and he's the exact same person. In fact, you could arguably watch the first season and now.
Well,
he'd be a little confused,
why he's still alive.
But he's exactly the same.
That's why he's still alive.
Yeah. What a lazy, worthless
The way Kirkman writes is as soon as he completes somebody's character arc, that person's got to die.
He's still in the first stage of growth. Yeah. He is a flat, emotionless character.
And he's pointless to the plot.
You couldn't kill him instead of Glenn. You couldn't kill him. He does nothing for the plot.
Kirkman in the end's in to make that money, man.
It's all about making that money. And that's why I was like, oh, I remember why I stopped watching the show. I'm going to continue to not watch this show.
Okay, so it sounds like generally we're all pretty down on Walking Dead. I've never really
And you know, sad? Because I loved the casting for Negan. I thought the guy who played Negan was great. I wanted to keep watching it, but the show as a whole is clearly something I've already read.
I really liked the guy who played Ezekiel. I think he did a really good job. I watched that episode. I thought it was really good.
I saw a clip from that, and I was like, oh, that's really sad, because I'm still not going to watch the show, because it's just going the exact route. I know exactly what's going
to
happen.
See, that doesn't bother me. That the fact that it's trying to actually adapt the source material, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is how poor the execution is.
It bothers me that there's even a little more imagination.
Honestly, I personally would have
rather it be 100% exact to the source material or 100% different than just Randall it's like the same storylines, just randomly scrambled.
Exactly. And that's worthless, because you already know the end result, so the journey getting there is just almost worthless.
I feel like Preacher's been doing a solid job of mixing things up just enough.
Preacher does a solid job because there's more flexibility in that story. With The Walking Dead, it's either all or nothing. Either you tell the exact same story or you tell a very different story. Because there's too many key events in any Kirkman story to totally deviate without completely deviating from the story. Preacher, there's a little more leeway. Because there's a lot of stories that take place out of the main timeline. As far as you could come in and out of the story at any time. Walking Dead, it's such a specific story that you either follow all the key points or you don't at all. Without, you know, either doing a half-ass adaptation or doing just verbatim the story. And at that point, either that's good for people who haven't read the story. But that's about it. And for what it is now, it's this half-crocked version to try and grab people like me who've already read everything. But it's such a haphazard way of telling the story I've already read.
Well,
it kind of seems just
they're not
going to
do a time jump. And... Nope. There is talks of them entering or having a different group enter in that isn't in the comics.
See, and that's what makes Fear cool and already just to me more watchable. But the execution there again.
It started out cool, and it's gotten more and more.
The problem with Fear.
Predictable.
Problem with Fear is it started off really good because it was showing you a timeline that wasn't previously explored by the series, and now it's sort of caught up, you know, timeline-wise, to the rest of the series, and it's just Walking Dead 1.5.
Second group. All it is. It's Walking Dead second group now. And that, to me, just continues to prove the show has found just a solid group of lazy writers. It is just a don't mess with the status quo, just let's just keep reading, let's just put this in this order, that makes it a little bit different, and we're good.
Not to toot my own horn, but a couple of years ago when we were starting off this podcast, we were all pretty high on The Walking Dead, but the question did persist, at what point does it outlive its own quality? Have we reached that point?
I definitely believe that the show is going, it's going to go down, you know, in popularity at this point, I believe. But it still has a couple more. I can easily see it reaching
still has
at least
a
season
huge
10.
Following too. Like, let's not dispel that.
Well, okay.
I can write all I want. I know that show.
If
just
I like for our purposes never... here, we need to separate success from quality.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Quality wise, it's already
never
reached
read the comics. I would still be able to predict some patterns.
Oh, totally.
You know, I'd still be able to predict the pattern of when somebody gets a prosthetic, they're going to die by the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Kirkman still seems to keep a limited number of people of color.
Totally. I hate that that's still a thing.
Well, he's expanded.
Yes, but it
trims
faster almost.
It is
now.
A ratio.
You know what? It's because it's that stigma. It was a bad joke made in the comic book constantly, especially among readers. And it's almost maintained just because he knows there are those old readers that still think that joke's funny.
Now,
I don't know if that's the reason why.
It feels that way sometimes.
There's definitely...
just the fact that Daryl is still alive begs that to me.
Daryl sells merch, man.
Yeah, and they've had opportunities to grow Daryl's character, and they really haven't.
They just don't.
But there's been other characters. You can see very clearly in the TV show, whenever somebody makes a breakthrough in therapy, they die. Mm-hmm. Essentially. That's one, and because that is his style of writing, Daryl will never grow. If he does, he'll have to die.
Gotta kill him. Can't let anybody become a person in this show.
That's and, how they die. They had to kill Glenn to motivate Maggie.
Yeah.
But they Glenn didn't have any impact because he didn't complete his journey. They tried to force it.
Right.
And it was in any, them teasing the die just got, Glenn was going to die, just got old. It's just like the teasing, they're going to cut off Rick's hands, just getting old, or cut off anybody's hand. There are some episodes that definitely feel like, well, you'll buy anything, won't you? And you're talking to somebody who's probably the most diehard Walking Dead fan amongst us.
Ben, you totally see where I'm coming from.
No, and I agree with it. Sadly, I'll still watch the show.
Yeah. And that was my thing, is I was a little, upset almost in that, as a nerd, as someone who is... I just finished Luke Cage, and that show was amazing.
I still haven't watched
it. It's good.
It's great. I need to watch it. Apparently,
The first half's a lot better than the second half.
Yeah, but it's
good. I felt the same way about the second season of Daredevil, but that was still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Second season of Daredevil definitely peaked early, but apparently Luke Cage beat Stranger Things in ratings on Netflix last year.
Really? I can believe that, actually.
Going off of that, Stranger Things was, the bomb.
So. Well, that's not judging quality, though. That's judging...
Well, Luke Cage is also longer, too. There's more episodes
Fair enough.
Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also, Luke Cage is a Marvel property.
Yeah.
There's a lot of buzz for Marvel... not really that much buzz for Stranger Things you're into...
The ball got rolling pretty fast, I feel like, on it. But yeah, I guess coming in, no one would have had, okay, so it's like 80s nostalgia show. Oh, wait, it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Luke Cage is Luke Cage. Luke Cage has had
years to build up to.
Apparently they did it right in terms of representation.
Oh, absolutely.
And the people making the show. Not just the people on the screen, but the people making the show.
It's worth watching for the music.
It's really good.
Yeah, I heard that the soundtrack is, it's one of those things where, YouTube videos, listen to the Luke Cage soundtrack. Not clips from the show, but just this.
Soundtrack's the GZA had a lot to do with the producing of all of the music in Luke Cage, so that alone makes it worth watching.
Okay. Well, it was already on my to-watch list. I've got a Thanksgiving break coming up next week. I'll be a few days off of school, so.
It's really good.
Need to sit down and watch a few episodes.
It's like, do you ever watch The Wire?
I never did.
Oh, man. It's like The Wire with superheroes. Really awesome.
Not as intense as The Wire,
because it's got to be a Marvel show at the same time.
From what I hear, one of the best shows ever made. So
I don't know about that.
It's on a lot of short lists.
Top 10. It's on top 10 for me.
It's definitely a great show, but I don't know if it's one of the best.
Idris Elba.
It's inherently subjective.
A stinger.
Right?
Love Idris Elba. He plays the meanest.
Oh, The
gangster.
Wire. The Wire is one of the greatest shows.
Wire's top 10.
Yeah, Wire's awesome.
What? Okay. Such a good show.
Yeah, we had switched over to talking about Wire.
Yeah. Okay. That's a show I'm going to start rewatching. I just decided that right now. It's like, I need a new show to watch.
Apparently, it rivals even The Sopranos in terms of.
Yeah, The Wire.
There's a show I've never actually watched.
The Sopranos?
Sopranos gets a bad rap because of how it ended. But
yeah.
The Sopranos is a great show.
It is. There's a lot of people who do defend the ending. I can kind of see both arguments. I didn't really like it the first time I watched it, which I'm not sure how anyone would. Yeah. But, it's a great show. It doesn't diminish the show at all, I don't think.
Yeah. It's my second favorite show of all time.
Oh, what's the first?
Mad Men. It's a really good show.
Solid choice.
Never watched Mad Men. It was so good. It shares a lot of the writers with The Sopranos. It's the reason I started watching The Sopranos, actually.
I feel like Mad Men does spin its wheels a little bit towards the middle, mm-hmm. but it began well and ended well,
yeah.
which is always good.
Solid series. Solid series.
Maybe it could have been one season less.
It could have been one season less. I thought about that. Yeah. Well, not only that, season 7 just took forever to come out.
It did.
It took way too long.
Well, that's when AMC decided to split its final seasons of stuff into two.
Yeah.
They did that with Breaking AMC. Bad also.
Yeah.
See, and I think Breaking that's a bad, bad thing.
Yeah.
And that... that show, by the time I went back and watched it, I'd seen a lot of their special effects or camera angles and tricks and stuff and so many other things. Now, and it's kind of, a lot of the special effects, It's kind of like if you watch The Matrix 10 years late.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get this was an event unheard of 5 years ago, but
now it's been kinda, done to death.
Yeah.
One of my favorite websites, TV Tropes, has kind of a thing for this. It's called Seinfeld is Unfunny. It's when you come to something that was innovative and groundbreaking at the time, but it's been copied a lot since then and been improved upon since then. So when you see the original property, you're like, okay, what's the big deal? And that's named after Seinfeld because Seinfeld is kind of hard to go back and watch, let's be honest.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Once you get past, like,
the first time.
Yeah. The first season kind of holds up, but everything after that starts to really wane.
Yeah.
Because once you get past all the not really in rotation episodes, which is the whole first season, once you get past that, once you get to all the more well-known episodes, it just drops in quality because it has been done to death from there.
Yeah.
Well, it was such a pop culture icon. Everything's been parodied multiple times.
Absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you hear a joke and you're like, I didn't even realize this is where it came from. I just heard it in so many other different things.
Well, the page quote for the Seinfeld is Unfunny page is, I don't see what the big deal about Hamlet is. It's just one famous saying after another. Which, of course, they all came from Hamlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true, though.
But, hey, I mean, you can't win for winning, right?
No. You can't win for winning. And plus, Jerry Seinfeld just, you know.
Speaking of
Jerry Seinfeld.
Winning, there was a line in the newest ERB, which was Ash from Pokemon versus Darwin.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is a brilliant joke right there. That's a good joke.
It was interesting, to say the least.
I need to sit down and watch it.
It's on
my recommended YouTube videos, but I've been ignoring it for the last few days because I've had shit to do.
But that alone, that joke.
That is a good joke.
That is a good joke. Ash and Darwin.
Sometimes the joke doesn't carry it, though.
You know, but...
Like, they did Christopher Columbus versus Captain Kirk, and... It's one of the worst ones they've ever done. Arguably the worst.
That's arguably not a funny joke.
That's not that funny.
Well, like, they're both, like, explorers.
Yeah, I know that. But it's like.
They're both ship captains, whatever.
Yeah, but
the one
fought
that
for, like, diversity, and one's, like, a terrible, awful human being.
Christopher Columbus was a monster.
If you know anything about history.
Fight for diversity.
Well, the show did.
Okay.
He kissed a black lady.
He's the first white dude to do that on television.
Yeah. Star Trek itself, inarguably, was a pioneering multicultural
The show!
But Kirk is a character. I could see that.
The character of Kirk made a lot of... Certainly a much better human being than Christopher Columbus was.
That's undeniable.
That is worse.
He's
laughable. This isn't like just like an
so did Larry Flint.
Christopher Columbus literally hacked off people's body parts and they didn't give him enough gold.
Kirk isn't that bad. You can rewatch Star Trek. Kirk isn't half as bad as we make him out to be.
Well,
that's
one of the things I'm annoyed by with the new movies is like they just kind of jump onto the whole, you know, frat bro with a spaceship.
Yeah,
aspect.
You know, there's not that many episodes where he hooks up with a girl.
No, there's more to it.
There are way less episodes of that than you think there
are. Kirk had to be the center between McCoy's idealism and Spock's logic. He had to be the guy who made the tough decisions.
Yeah.
And that does not loan itself well to being like, yo, dudes, I just blushed me. Shit up, which is kind of what the new movies are.
But in all fairness, too, Christopher Columbus, once overstayed his welcome, and I think of, like, Jamaica or something like that. And they were trying to kick him out of the island. And because he had an almanac and he knew that a lunar eclipse was about to happen, he said, "If you kick me off this island, I will blot out the moon." And like, no, go F yourself. And you know what happens? The lunar eclipse. He convinced these poor people. He was some crazy.
Hey, don't demonize him just because he's just smart to use the tools available.
Some of the other tools available that he used were swords to hack people's body parts off and make them wear them.
People
have
been doing that for years beforehand. Why are you judging him?
He was an awful person.
Christopher Columbus. That is not a monster.
He was an actual terrible person.
How can he be a made-up
character?
How can he be a monster if there's a day named after him?
He doesn't deserve a day named after him.
No, Christopher Columbus and Khan going at it, that makes sense.
Columbus Day only started existing in the 20th century because the Knights of Columbus wanted like another like Italian Catholic person to have a holiday named after them.
Damn. That's why we got that, guys. He was still a bet. You know, we also put Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill, and that guy was a terrible person.
Yeah. I mean, Trail of Tears alone was...
Yeah.
Okay. You lose it to the $10 bill. That guy shot Jackson.
Yeah, you know,
incorrect.
Hamilton?
No, they weren't even alive at the
time.
I'm thinking Aaron Burr.
Yeah. Aaron Burr shot Hamilton.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
There's if we're going to shot at Jackson, we're going to be here all night.
But Jackson did win duels while being president.
Yeah.
Jackson engaged and won lots of duels.
Jackson was arguably a pretty BAMF dude.
But he was also a racist and a terrible person.
Yeah, he was also an awful person.
And most of those duels were because somebody had called his wife a hick.
Sadly, those are not mutually exclusive, being pretty badass, but at the same time being just morally reprehensible.
I mean, most of those duels, he entered with people who had no business being in a duel.
Yeah. One could argue, he only dueled people he knew he was going to beat.
Yeah.
Well,
why
that
would
just makes him
smart. Fair enough. I'm not sure I'd want to duel, like, you know
why are you
Andrew
Hickory
or something.
Old Hickory. Yeah, let's duel... with the president. You couldn't say no. Talk about you're screwed. If you get into an argument with Jackson, he was always going to use that to his advantage at a time where men were supposedly honorable. If you said anything out of turn, he would challenge you to a duel, and everybody was aware of this and were constantly on eggshells around him. What an awful dude.
Smart dude, always got what he wanted.
I'm just saying there wasn't a gridlock Congress then.
He got shit done. He did. He killed people. As the president. He killed U.S. citizens who didn't even do anything but piss him off. That's what he did. That guy literally, that's all. He actually did that.
In any event. So I hope the new effort graph battle is good.
Yeah. He also...
I'm glad. My favorite one probably is still Gandhi versus MLK.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Also a big... all the Vader versus Hitler ones are pretty, they're good rib ticklers.
The Vader versus Hitler, the first one was okay.
I appreciate, at least on the third one, how they did a shout-out to Return of the Jedi, like, as, like, the opening, like, setup for it. So, that's clever. Yeah. Deadpool versus Boba Fett was.
Oh, that was
good.
A good one. That was a good
one. You have five lines in the movies, and one of them was
was it Hitchcock versus Tarantino?
Yeah, with all that.
Yeah.
That was.
Well, no, the
was
best
it
part
versus
of,
Spielberg. It ended up having like five.
Yeah, the best part is just Michael Bay.
Spielberg versus Hitchcock.
That's what it was.
And then Tarantino jumped in, and then Kubert, and then Michael Bay comes in.
And Michael Bay's the best.
See, when
part
you say
of that
Kubert,
one.
I'm picturing the little like orange
Stanley Kubert.
Yeah, Kubert.
But yeah, I'm picturing now like the little freaking like orange mouth video game creature coming in, like dropping sick beats.
Dropping sick beats. All Kubert did. That game's soundtrack is incredible.
And it's a terrible game.
Awful game. I didn't understand what was going on.
It's super iconic, but it's not a fun game.
It's almost like a puzzle game.
Yeah, but
turn
not
the light
a
on.
One.
Turn the light off. Turn the light on. Turn the light on. Turn the light. I don't want to play this game anymore, Dad. I want my quarterback. Turn the light on. Turn the. Nope. I'm stuck in this. Sorry, die. I can I die? How am I not dead yet?
He's hop still off going.
Can I play some Sinistar?
Yeah. Is this one of those machines where if I wait long enough, it'll be Galaga again? Nope. This is not even Miss Pac-Man on the. Nah. I want to jump off and die, but I feel like I can't.
It'd be a waste of a coin.
I'd be a waste of a coin, but I don't want to play this game anymore.
That's the thing about playing in the arcade. You're committed to at least putting forth your best effort.
I hated that game because I'm just like, I don't know how to do this, but I don't want to stop playing because I put a quarter in this. And I know I really should have just put another round of Turtles in Time.
Oh,
nope,
yeah.
I'm playing Cubert. Well,
okay, because now I didn't know what Cubert was. Difference between those two games. If you're
but if you get really frustrated on one of the boss battles and you got nobody to back you up, and you're just like, I'm Donatello and I'm in this because he's got the best combo.
As great as Turtles in Time was, it is definitely a racket because you do need like
at least one other guy.
Two or three dudes playing.
And you're there for hours and you're playing by yourself. Cubert starts to look pretty good after your second or third boss fight, and you're just piling the quarters in the machine.
I also fondly remember the Simpsons arcade game, which was more or less
a whole line of them.
Yeah, like the Simpsons. There's an X-Men one.
Also a good one. Welcome to Die.
Yeah, now, Golden Axe. Just beat that one. Yeah, Golden Axe.
I think Golden Axe was kind of the start of the.
Yeah.
Now you got to have two of your buddies, three of your buddies.
Oh, and Double Dragon.
There's also a D&D arcade game, which wasn't shit.
No, it was actually.
I mean, it's not
fun.
D&D by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not even close to D&D. But it's a lot of fun, though. It did get the branding, though.
Yeah. Well, D&D branding has gone on some real crappy things. Have you ever seen that
cartoon?
I'm talking about the movie with like
Marlon Wayans in it. Yeah, that movie's not good.
It's really bad. It has Jeremy Irons in it.
Are we talking about the first one or the three sequels they did after that?
The one with Jeremy Irons in it.
Yeah, there's sci-fi original movies.
Okay, what was Marlon Wayans' character, Snails? What the hell? You're in like this epic fantasy setting and the character name came up with is fucking Snails?
Is it Thor Birch or Christina Ricci?
Right now.
It was one of those two. Was like
there were sequels?
Yes.
They're on the sci-fi channel.
Aragorn wasn't.
Like, I don't know if they're sequels, but they're like also D&D.
Actually, the second one is a direct sequel.
It is. Does it have Marlon Wayans in it?
No.
Okay, good.
No, it does have one of the had the bald guy in it as the main bad guy.
Wait, didn't he die at the end of the first one?
He came back as like a.
Oh
lich.
My god! Well, I guess they just cast Red Dragon.
But at least with the sequels,
he came back as a lich? He wasn't that jacked.
Well, he came back as a lich.
Okay, whatever.
Well, at least the sequels, were terrible, but at least the sequels attempted to adapt actual
D&D
plots.
Okay, so they're like...
It was like you were actually watching a really shitty D&D adventure.
Okay.
As opposed to the first movie, which was just terrible all around.
It's an awful movie.
I don't think I actually want to watch a movie about people fighting Tiamat, but... Because D&D isn't about the story. The story is a cool backdrop and an excuse to do
cool
things.
No, it's about interacting with people.
Yeah, it's not about the plot, really.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why they did that.
If they really wanted to make a D&D movie, it should have started out like that one movie where everybody's trying to figure out who they are, where they wake up in either a prison or a cave.
No clothes.
Or they wake up in a bar.
Larry, D&D campaigns start in a tavern. They just do. There is no...
No, they either start in the tavern or they start in a dungeon with no
total
memory where they are.
Yeah, all right.
You never start a campaign naked in the middle of nowhere, none of your party's actually around you for some reason.
Okay, so I'm playing...
And that DM, if you listen to this podcast, you are still an a-hole.
Yeah.
You are still... Three... different nights, I was still naked and nowhere near the rest. The party was in a totally different place.
I spent a whole 10 minutes.
Every turn, I was somewhere not close to the party.
I spent a whole 10 minutes before the campaign carefully selecting my equipment.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. You wake up naked in a cave.
Yeah, I was in
what?
I was in the... You ever play the Tomb of Horrors and you go to that one room that switches your gender and then you try to go back and teleport you naked to the start of the dungeon?
No.
But, okay, well, spoiler alert, there's a room like that in Tomb of Horrors. Well, Tomb of Horrors is one of those things where you really don't want spoilers. There's twists and turns to it. There's a hallway that instantly kills you, but I'm not going to tell you which one.
Awesome. But it kills the hell out of you.
It is absolutely impossible not to die in this hallway.
Tried everything. Everything. Die every time.
If you're immune to the specific things that this thing kills you with, you still die.
It's unbelievable.
It's Gary Gygax. Unbelievable. Well, it was Gary Gygax's personal player eater. So
Seriously. I was so ready to not get killed by this. I prepared. I did all. I'm thinking, I got this. Die. The DM didn't even roll. He was like, you're dead.
Our DM did give us a reflex save to jump back, but
no, didn't even roll. He was like, you're dead instantly. I was like, what? Exactly. I was like, no, I can. No, he's like, nope, you're dead.
Sounds like your DM's a douche.
Yeah, there's two different DMs, but they're both awful people.
Yeah, I was actually playing D&D last night.
DMs are awful people in general.
We had a character,
just being one. Yeah,
we had a character get himself killed by trying to steal from a black dragon pirate captain, which inherently is a pretty bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Black dragon, he's actually a shadow dragon, so it's even worse because he breathes negative energy.
See, that's such an awesome combination. Why would you want to steal from that guy?
What is your
He's a pretty cool character, actually. I like him. But as soon as he died, the guy had his backup character come in and it's like, okay, we're going to the tavern because that's where you meet new party members, is in the damn tavern.
Not naked in the cave.
Well, half the crowd died. I need some new drinking buddies.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, his old character was just a real asshole, so I'm not sad to see him go.
That's totally fair.
Although he was a sorcerer, so he was hella useful, but
Worth the trouble.
Not worth the trouble. Caused at least twice as many problems as he solved.
Damn.
There's always at least that one dick in it.
He destroyed an artifact with a crit on Ray of Destruction, and the artifact rolled a nat 1, so it actually worked. And he still caused more problems than he solved.
I've technically been that guy to the nth degree.
Oh, I've been that guy before, too.
I literally once betrayed my entire party at the very end of a quest.
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
But even if you're being the most dickish dick character, there are some things that I feel like are inherently out of bounds. Like, you do not dominate other players.
No. Oh, no, you don't do that.
Never do that.
That takes out the agency of the game, which is the whole point.
Absolutely. But you also don't kill everybody at the end of the campaign.
You also don't do that. But there's at least still agency in that.
Yeah.
There's a different. I feel like dominating a party member is much worse than trying to kill a party member.
That is very true.
Because that's not going against the fundamental aspect of the game.
Well, you know, usually if you dominate, a character gets dominated, that player writes another character, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, domination's not completely unbeatable. Well, he had to make like a 34 will save, so he had to roll the nat 20 to get it. But, no one should ever make it where your character cannot do what you want your character to do.
Yeah, that's just uncool.
But story-wise, you know, that characters have to
die. If it's an enemy doing that, by all means. But if it's you as a player doing it to another player, that's out of bounds.
Totally. Sometimes.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying you have to nerf your evil control sorcerer.
Don't ruin the experience for other players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like in the Vampire the Masquerade, that was actually a part of it. You know, you could get a character addicted to your character.
Whoa.
Now, there's a thing called Bloodbound. And if you got them to drink, your blood three times or whatever throughout the. Basically, they would have to make a willpower throw and take damage to do something against to not do what you said. Yeah.
Ah, damn, that sucks.
But at that point, you know, usually you gave up the character, you know.
Right.
Or,
yeah. Although, I mean, there's fun to be had in, like, trying to work around a handicap.
Yeah.
It's a good challenge for an experience player.
And it was, and part of that was if you were a little bloodbound, then your character would have these occasional willpower checks, or if you played the character right. And that game was much more about it, much more focused on storytelling than other systems, and less on dice and all that jazz.
This is true.
Yeah. Other campaign I'm in right now, we're doing Dark Sun, and he's running AD&D crit tables, and so my Magus got pierced in the throat, and he can't talk anymore.
Damn.
But I can
That sucks.
I can still do a once-a-day silence spell because I took the Magus Arcana for it.
Damn. But that really sucks.
So I just now got third-level spells, so I could theoretically be casting Haste and Dispel Magic and Fly and all that shit. But I can only do one spell a day right now. And we're in the assassin dungeon, so I have to have it be glitter dust.
Man, that really sucks.
That does suck.
Hey, we're also playing the other AD&D rules, though, where once I hit 8th level and get another point in con, I can do bears. What's the con boost spell?
Oh.
Whatever. The one that boosts your con. I can do that to get my con up to 20 and then just regenerate my throat. So there is an out.
It's just it's gonna
you just
take
have
some
to
time.
Get there.
I have to get one more level.
Good luck with that. Are you close or no?
I just hit 7.
Oh, so you're a while away from 8.
We're leveling up pretty fast in this campaign.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Otherwise, that would just suck.
We're also doing AD&D level progression, so pretty quick.
Oh, okay, that's not that bad.
Well. But okay, so yeah, we've been sufficiently nerdy. Anytime we talk about Star Wars and D&D,
we've gone from state names to D&D.
There's pavement in there at some point.
Yeah, there was pavement.
That's what
pavement.
Started it all off, actually.
Petrol road construction.
And Arkansas. Is that what it's called?
It may be your Kansas. It's not my Kansas.
It's our Kansas.
It belongs to all of us, Larry.
Yeah.
Doesn't belong to me. I don't want it.
Yeah. Nobody wants Kansas. That's the honest to God
Kansas
truth.
Kansas is some deep shit right now, actually, so
nobody wants Kansas.
Sorry, Kansas listeners.
If we have people somebody who listens to listen Kansas, to I want you to tell me if Kansas was named Kansas first before Arkansas, because I don't want to look it up tonight.
You're
I'm going to let you tell me.
You're assuming a robust knowledge of their state history.
Somebody has Wikipedia.
People of Kansas.
Kansasite sounds like something you beat Superman with. Like you need Kansasite to just cripple him.
Kansidian?
No,
you know, Superman is from Kansas.
Yeah, I know he's from Kansas.
Kansasite.
That would ask.
Kansinians?
Kenyans?
Just in case it didn't get on there earlier. Internet, please go forth and bring me a version of the original Star Wars prequels. Where every time Anakin speaks, it's dubbed over by James Earl Jones.
Man,
I would like to watch that.
I would really like to watch that now.
It would be great. You know what else is really fun is they dubbed over Darth Vader from the original trilogy, for a few minutes, with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, that sounds
Oh, just like, you know, he's choking the rebel, and like he's talking to someone else, and like the rebel's like trying to like mutter something. I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I know.
We're about to get medieval on your ass. He's like going to torture land.
Damn.
That being said, any final thoughts?
I hope Rogue One's good.
I hope Rogue One is good as well. A little less than a month from now.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for it. It definitely...
Well, actually, no, right out of a month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about right out of a month. Yeah, I have high hopes for it. It definitely, just the aesthetically, it looks really good.
Great.
Yeah.
I like the new droid. I don't know what he's going to do. He just looks cool and does not seem to suck so far.
Yep.
BB-8 was just okay.
Okay. Man,
just okay. Just
I liked BB-8 just fine.
BB-8 was alright. I enjoyed BB-8.
Yeah.
I mean, he's easily the most gif-able of the droids. You know, the whole like...
Yeah, well, the thumb.
You know, he was created after the internet was a thing, so...
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of those things where like it should be better. It has no excuse not to be better, but it is better.
That's a big airship.
That's fair, but I like... the design of the new droid.
Yeah. Hey, it does look pretty cool.
He looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I do hope it's good as well.
It's for pretend.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Jules.
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys.
I missed you, man.
The computer doesn't think so, but I'm glad somebody does at least.
Well, you're not in the computer like you normally are to control things.
We figured out a long time ago that you were just existing as a cyber intelligence. Oh, so the computer is having some
I'm an AI like
empty nest
Tony Stark
syndrome.
Yeah, I'm
Zach
actually
lips, so you go back.
I'm actually an AI, you know, that thinks he's a... I just finished all of Red vs. Blue.
You bought
that show
earlier.
Gets really weird meta.
later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you balked earlier when we wanted to do the blood test to see.
Oh yeah,
if you were
I
actually,
don't. I'm not actually. I'm a what's Vision a synthesoid?
Yeah,
synthesoid. Yeah, a synthesoid. Elaine is too.
Okay. So,
okay. That's.
You guys are gonna like go around and murder people in Virginia, because that's what I learned from Tom King's run on Vision.
We're not that bad. We're not those synthesoids.
Those synthesoids
give us a bad name. Yeah.
They also make out with the Virginia? Hulk in the middle of the woods.
Oh, that's a good point.
Good for them. You know.
Why Virginia?
That's where he lives.
Yeah, that's where he lives.
They were starting a small. They were living in a small suburban community in Virginia.
Yeah,
because he was like the Avengers, like official,
right outside,
yeah,
the White
House, right outside of DC. So he would fly into DC, and they lived in Virginia.
If you haven't been reading Vision, there, you totally should. It's been great.
Oh, such
a well, it just ended actually. Yeah. It was great.
It was.
They could easily go to other states. Virginia's not that big. They can kill people in other states.
You know, they
why do they have to
they restricted their activities in Tom King's run to people from Virginia.
That's why the joke is specific.
Not from Virginia, it's just in Virginia. Yeah. They don't necessarily have to be from.
That's true. I don't know where all the people were from, but they were in Virginia at
the
time.
Yes. They were current residents.
But you should totally read it.
It was boss. It was real boss. It was probably my favorite read of the year.
Well, actually,
Mega Man.
They're both Tom King. Tom King.
We're at the point of the year where that means something.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say that both those books were easily both my favorite books of the year.
I think I'm going to try to write up a list soon of the just ranking the superhero movies that came out this year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there's good ones that came out.
Anytime
this year.
Taylor writes stuff, it's
I highly
good.
Doubt Civil War is going to get beat by anything.
It's not. Spoiler alert. I'll tell you why. The movie. Oh, God, Joel.
I was far more compelled to see Doctor Strange than Civil War.
Original theatrical release of Batman v Superman is bottom of the list.
It's so bad.
Ultimate Edition is.
It's a little higher, but it's still.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's the marred. Martha kills the entire movie for me. I literally got up and left.
My thing was just Batman being so out of character. Batman should not be running around being the Punisher.
No, I was almost gonna let all that go, but as soon as Martha happens, I was like, done with this movie. That was the most. You know what? Anakin destroying the Trade Federation, them getting into that one room makes way more sense than them stopping the fight at the sound of a name. I'm sorry, no way.
Means that they get just bitter.
No way. No way. No. No. The entire prequel trilogy makes more sense than that. That whole, how that all unfolds right there. I was, no way. No way anyone even heard that. I barely heard that.
I don't have the same hang-up that Jules has about that movie, but the plot is very convoluted and nonsensical.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all.
It, even by its most generous estimations, it fell well short of what your big tentpole crossover movie should have
been. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was super lackluster. And nobody felt like the characters they were billed as either.
But the second place one, that might one actually, you know, there's a little bit of debate on that one.
So what's your second?
You'll have to wait and see.
Oh,
uh-huh.
I look forward to this now.
All right.
Anything else?
Well, Adam's got a final thought, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do I?
Do you?
Do you have a final thought?
I was putting myself out there, having faith in you, Adam. Do not dash my hopes now.
But I love dashing people's hopes.
Yeah, like, really. Oh. Now at this point, I don't want you to have a final thought just to see Taylor cry.
It'll happen. I'll break down right here.
Oh
right
well, but I'm not having a final thought. Let's see them tears. Let's see them tears.
I'm not making a lot of noise, but I am crying, listeners.
That is a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. He is lying to you, listeners. You cannot trust anything this man says from now until eternity.
All right.
Well, FYI, we'll have plenty of Black Friday specials and stuff going on. You know,
buy stuff.
We have a couple pallets of merchandise back there.
There's a Batwing from the Batman animated series that you can put together. It's really big, and I was shocked by how not overwhelmingly expensive it was.
It has like it's a 36 or 38 inch wingspan when you put it together.
Yeah.
It is literally the size of a table. It is to scale with the action figures.
If I were to get,
that's awesome.
If I were to get it, I would have to actually put it as a table because I don't have room for it otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd have to eat dinner off of the Batwing.
Like if you had a glass table, could somehow mount that right underneath it. It would look amazing.
No, you just hang it up and make a nice chandelier. You know,
I thought about hanging it up with the magic airships.
Well, then I'd be honest. That actually looked pretty cool. It looked like Batman was having some sort of epic conversation. These like steampunky gilded airships you have to get up here.
But anyway, we'll be sending out the wish list come next Wednesday for all the box holders, and it'll be posted online as well. All our Black Friday specials run all weekend long. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. See y'all. Yeah, same bat time, same bat channel. Come find us in Madison, Tennessee, or find us online, comicsc2.com, outrightgeekery.com.
It's pretty Facebook. low key outro.
Oh yeah. That's been all for Quiet Storm. See you next week.
Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine. And Jules was even here.
He done screwed it up.
Yeah.
And now it's... Nope, that's not him.
Where the hell did he go? Maybe he's talking to Elaine right this very moment. He had an urgent phone call.